Amen. So in Psalm 37 there, it begins at verse 1 and says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." And if you look there in verse 7, that phrase is repeated where it says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." So this is just one example of many others in Scripture where we are told not to fret, or another word we might use for that is to worry, or as a word that the Bible might use is to be careful. Okay, to be careful for nothing. We're told not to fret. And that's what I want to preach to us about this evening, or this morning, is that we are commanded here in the Scripture to what? Fret not. Now, this isn't, it is clearly a command that we are to fret not, but it's really one of those, it's more also of a comfort, really, when you think about it. Because of the fact that, you know, there are evil people in the world, there are difficult circumstances, people do worry. So the Bible here is trying to reassure us by giving us the command that we are not to worry, that we are to fret not. And if you think about it, there's a lot of things in the world to fret about, isn't there? You know, a lot of people fret a lot over different things, and their fears aren't unfounded. You know, it's legitimate, you know, but the Bible here is assuring us and telling us that we should not fret. And what are some of the things we shouldn't fret over? Well, one of the things we shouldn't fret over are evil people, okay, evil people. That's what he's saying here specifically. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, right, because of people that do evil. If you would, go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter number 2. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 24, this phrase is repeated again in verse 19, "Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked, for there shall be no reward to the evil man, and the candle of the wicked shall be put out." So we have another place in Scripture, twice here in Psalms 37, again in Proverbs 24, we are clearly told that we are not to fret ourselves because of what? Evildoers, because of evil men, because of those that prosper in the way, because of those that bring wicked devices to pass. And look, people are fretting quite a bit these days about evil men, aren't they? I mean, unwarranted? Are there not evil men that live in our day? Of course there are. There always have been. There always will be. Okay, you know, we could probably go around and name some names of some evil people, right? Bill Gates, right? Evil guy. You say, but he gave us Windows. That's exactly why he's evil. No, I'm just kidding. You know, everyone should get on Mac OS. I'm kidding. You know, there's another evil guy at the head of that company too, that sodomite. But here, you know, he's evil. Why? Because he's all about, you know, buying up the agriculture, you know, the farmland in this country, injecting people, promoting vaccines that are harmful to people, population control. And look, there's a lot of names we probably don't know. Right, we could go around and name a lot of different names. You know, Dr. Fauci, you know, a guy who's, you know, I haven't followed it that closely, but correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't it like he was involved in the actual, you know, release of that of the COVID-19 virus? Like he was actively involved in giving it a gain of function, is what they called it. All those emails, are like, the guy's evil, right? And look, there's all kinds of evil people. I mean, we could probably just start listing, you know, several different, you know, multitudes of people in the higher ranks of our government that are evil, right? And we're surrounded by evil people just in general. Maybe people don't have a lot of influence or have a lot of political clout or have a lot of money. I mean, the whole world lieth in wickedness. There's evil people all around us, okay? And there's always, of course, you know, the God of this present world who is at work and trying to, what, bring wicked devices to pass. So you can see why people might, you know, why this is in the Scripture repeatedly, to fret not, because of the fact that there are things that people legitimately fret about. This isn't just some, you know, I'm not going to get out my red ball of yarn and start connecting the dots up here with about some elaborate conspiracy theory. But we all know there are, you know, there are principalities and powers in high places that are at work in this world. There are evil people. I mean, if there aren't, then what's the point of Psalms 37? Fret not thyself because of evildoers who don't exist. No, they do exist. They are out there. And people can spend a lot of time fretting over evil people, can't they? And then, look, there's a lot of people out there that want you to fret over evil people, by the way. There's a lot of people out there that just want to, you know, fearmonger and just tell you all about all the wicked things that are going on in the world and get you all worked up and get you to just follow them. The Bible says to fret not because of evildoers, to not worry about these people, to not sit there and obsess over them in your life and feel like it's your, you know, duty to go out there and resist them in some way. And look, I understand that we have to, you know, we have to do the work of God, and that's how we resist. We win souls. We preach the Bible. But look, you're not going to turn the tide against the forces of darkness in this world. I'm sorry. You know, it's just not going to happen. You're foolish if you think that, you know. If you think that you're just going to hunker down somewhere and you're just going to, you know, get the beans, the bullets, and the batteries, and when the Antichrist comes, you're just going to be that last bastion of the Christian faith, you know, holding out. You know, they're going to look at everything you got and say, you have a pea shooter, right? They're going to have, you know, the heat sinking this and the thermal vision that, and it's just like they're going to be bombing you from miles and miles away via drone, you know. So, but people get caught up in this kind of thing of just fretting and worrying about evil people or going on some political campaign or going out there and just fear-mongering and try to get people to just be all worked up about the evil forces that are at work in this world. Well, the Bible clearly commands and tells us to fret not, to not worry about these people, because the Lord's the only one that can and will ultimately take vengeance on them, okay? So what are some of the, you know, that's probably, you know, a pretty general application there, but what are some other applications? You say, Brother Corbin, you know, I'm not really worried about all the evil in the world. Like, I understand what you're saying, but what about fretting about and just worrying over circumstances? You know, that's probably something that we probably all deal with a little bit more. You know, hopefully we all mature and grow to the place where we understand, look, we understand there's all this conspiracy. There's a bunch of wicked people out there causing wicked things to come to pass, you know, and we kind of grow past that. And we understand that the Lord's going to take care of that. But what about just like our day-to-day things? We worry about our finances. We worry about, you know, all the different things that people worry about. Their jobs. They worry about housing markets. They worry about the economy. They worry about, you know, their health. They worry about so many different things, don't they? And those are things that are probably make a little bit more sense, you know, humanly speaking, to worry about, because that has an immediate impact on your life. That's something you can really put your finger on. And, you know, that's actually something you can, to some degree, control too. But even then, you know, we shouldn't worry about these things. We shouldn't worry about them. I should have had you turn to, you went to 2 Timothy, but I'll just read to you from Luke 10, right? Where Jesus said, and Jesus answered, said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Was she, you know, and we know the story, Martha, you know, wasn't back there, you know, online on InfoWars somewhere, like, saying, did you see what they did? You know, have you seen the Georgia Guidestones, Jesus? And, you know, worrying about all these things. You know, she was worrying about what? She was cumbered about with what? Much serving. She was back there with the pots and pans trying to get everything ready. She's just worried about, you know, the just the cares of this life, just the day-to-day things. And Jesus said, look, you're troubled about many things. You're careful and troubled about many things. And he's rebuking her, you know, lightly. He's saying, look, don't be troubled about these things. He said again in Matthew chapter 13, in the parable of the sower, we all know this passage. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. You know, a lot of times we're careful to not become unfruitful, you know, through the deceitfulness of riches. You say, well, I'm not desiring to be rich. I'm not coveting. I'm not desiring great deals of money, you know, but I'm good there. But yeah, but what about the cares of this world? What about just all the little things that people worry about from day in and day out? You know, and you say, we'll get to what to do about it, you know, because the truth is most people do worry about things. Most people do fret over things. It's just part of our human nature to do that. You know, and I'm not saying, you know, if you fret, if you ever worry, that you're just some kind of wicked sinner. Okay, I don't think that's what this command is in the scripture for. I think it's there to what? Encourage us and to tell us, look, God's got everything under control. So why don't you just go to him? Why don't you just cast all your care upon him and let him work all these things out? Let him worry about the powers and principalities in high places. Let him worry about the evil men. We can do that, but what about letting him take care of all of our day-to-day needs, all the things that we worry about that are more practical in life, okay? And again, this is because, you know, people's fears are not unfounded. There are evil people. They do exist, okay? And the Bible says in 1 John 2, little children, is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now, in John's day, there are many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. John's saying, look, even now there are many Antichrists. In his day, thousands of years later, do you think that's gotten better or worse over time? It's clearly gotten worse. There's more false prophets with a bigger platform reaching more people. There's more antichrists in the world, and there's all, you know, and we're closer than he was to the actual antichrist, you know, being revealed. You're there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, look verse 1. This know also that in last days perilous times shall come. You know, that's the days we're living in. We're living in those last days. And as we grow closer and closer to the return of Christ, things are going to get worse and worse. Now, you know, I know I'm trying to encourage you this morning, but, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. That's what the Bible says. Perilous times shall come. You know, we could look down this list and, you know, is it lining up with what we see in the world? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Do we see that in the world today? Amen. Just everywhere, you know, just, you know, making all the kissy faces at the camera. And just let me get my filter just right. You know, people are just in love with themselves on social media. People are just, you know, stepping on other people's heads to get ahead financially. I mean, it's a selfish world that we live in. People are just given over to what? Covetousness, right? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous boasters. You know, there's a lot of boasting. They're proud. You know, there's a particular group that we, you know, that we know of that, you know, wave that pride flag, don't they? They're proud, they're boasters, right? They're blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Is the Bible-believing Christian becoming more popular today or less? Less. Is Christian value, are Christian values the ones that are being promoted or demoted? They're being demoted. Why? Because perilous times are coming. And there are those that are what? Despisers of those that are good. You know, never feel bad about what you believe. Never feel bad about what the Bible teaches. This is good. You know, if people despise this, then they despise that which is good. If they despise our godly Christian life, they despise those that are good. And look, that's exactly what's going on in the world around us. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's why that, you know, the churches aren't being filled to the brim, because people are out, you know, on their bicycles today. They're more concerned about going, riding their bike somewhere and getting a bite to eat and having a pint than they are about getting in the house of God and learning the things of God. They're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof from such, turn away. So look, if people are worrying about evil people, it's not unfounded, right? But all I'm saying is they shouldn't, because the Bible tells us to not fret over all these things. But again, he doesn't tell us, he doesn't say just turn a blind eye and nothing's going to happen. He's saying, look, it's real. Look, this is the type of people are going to come. This is how bad it's going to get. This is what people are going to be like, but don't worry about it. But don't fret about it. We also have the promise there in verse 12 where it says, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, that's something that's guaranteed in the Christian life. But should you worry about that? Is that something you should just stay up at night wondering, tossing to back and forth in your bed? How is the persecution going to come? When is it going to come? Look, I know it's coming to us eventually as a church. It's going to show up in some way, shape, or form. You know, we've had it. We've had our spells here and there, but, you know, we've got other friends, you know, other churches like Steadfast and First Works and Verity and, you know, other churches that we're like-minded with that have gone through some serious persecution. You know, and I'm saying that because, look, eventually it's going to come around to where it's our turn. You know, and I kind of preached about this a few weeks ago regarding false brethren, that, you know, eventually we are going to get on the devil's radar enough. You know, we're getting this new suite. We're going to reach more people. We're going to grow. I'm just convinced of that because that's the promise of God, that he will build his church. I don't think it's a coincidence that, you know, we got that building. You know, it's because God has intents behind it. I believe that. But I also know that as we grow and we get on the devil's radar, persecutions are going to come. I mean, it happened to, you know, a lot of other churches that we could turn to in the New Testament. But so does that mean we should just sit around and say, well, you know what, maybe let's just not grow then. Let's just close the doors and stop inviting people to church. We'll just go out and get them saved, not tell them where we're at, not tell them where we're from, and just make sure. So because we don't want to get on the devil's radar because, oh, we wouldn't want to be persecuted. That's fretting. You know, that's a worrying. That's the wrong kind of attitude to have. We don't want to fret. We want to say, hey, bring the persecutions, bring the blessings too. And we'll just trust the Lord to see us through those things as they come. But again, people have legitimate fears, don't they? They're legitimate in the fact that they do exist. You know, these aren't half-baked conspiracy theories. These are things that are going to happen. Things are going to get worse and worse. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? Right? That's what it says in verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. He didn't say things are going to get better. He said they're going to get worse. Now, we know ultimately things are going to be good and they're going to be the best they've ever been when Christ returns and sets up his kingdom, right? And then it's over. But until that time, you know, the devil knows he has a short time to work. He's going to rage and he's going to fight and he's going to, you know, send more and more antichrists out in the world. Things are going to get worse and worse. I mean, just look at our country. Look at the moral nosedive this country is in. I mean, they're pulling some serious G's, right? And people think that it's like, you know, when the plane goes into a nosedive, I'm flying Saturday. I don't know why I'm using this illustration. You know, plug your ears, Linda. She's going with me. But when it goes into a nosedive and it's just like, pull up, you know, like we're way beyond that. Like both pilots are like, the G's, they just passed out. You know, the airbags have dropped. You know, it's just a complete nosedive, tailspin, and it's just a matter of time until it's, you know, impact. That's where we're at as a country. You know, sorry to break it to you. You say, how do you know that? Because of all the innocent blood, because of all the abominations, that all the things that we're promoting, not just here at home, but also abroad, you know, promoting sodomy and filth and everything else that America does. You know, we are that Babylon that's going to be judged. And that's why the Bible's telling us, look, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And I wouldn't be doing you a favor and just telling you, hey, don't worry about anything. Everything's going to be fine. What I'm telling you is that everything is not going to be fine, but that you still shouldn't worry about it. Amen. Because that's what the Bible says. It says, fret not because of evil men and seducers who are going to wax worse and worse. That perilous times are going to come, but we should still not fret over these things. And look, there is no shortage of things for people to fret over, aren't there? I mean, there's people, they can fret over all manner of things. They can fret about their finances, their situations, their children, their relationships, their marriage. It just goes on and on. The world, and look, the world will help you fret, won't they? I mean, go home and turn on, pick your whatever brand of news you like. Go watch the CNN or the Fox News or PBS, whatever. Just go ahead. They'll help you fret and worry over things, won't they? I mean, they'll just have that. If the talking head there is just repeating whatever message of worry and fret they're just trying to. There's also that, usually they have that little ticker that runs by, and it's just telling you all the other terrible things. You know, 10,000 dead here, earthquake there, tsunami here. Just like all, and it's just like, oh, I can fret about that and that and that and that and that and that. Look, they'll just give you a list of things, literally, to just, here, worry about all this. Things that haven't even affected your life or won't affect your life. Look, we read about some tragedy somewhere, we're heartbroken, but it's, you know, should we sit there and worry about whether that's going to happen to us? These things that are just completely beyond our control? You know, the Bible says to fret not over evil men, over circumstances, over things that are beyond our control. You know, we're not to fret. Why? Because we're called to continue on in the work of God. Fear has a paralyzing effect on people. I mean, fear causes people to get out of the Christian life. They get in a church like this where the Bible's being preached, where we're taking a stand for the Word of God, where persecution's going to come, and they say, well, you know, I'm kind of worried about that. I think I'll just go to a church where something like that is less likely to happen. Where you're going to get protested. You know, they might look up my name. They might see me walking in there, and, you know, they might call my job, and who knows? Look, things like that happen. You know, I'm just forewarning you. And you know, you could sit there and worry about that and be paralyzed with fear and just get out of the Christian life. You know, and that's kind of a, you know, that's, you know, something that's a little, that example is kind of maybe a little bit more, you know, less likely to happen. But how about if you actually start living for God and your family turns on you? The people you know start to say, well, you're weird now. And say, you believe what? Oh, you don't do what? You know? They think it's strange that you run not to the same excessive riot, right? And they make you a gazing stock, even in your own family. That type of thing happens all the time. And look, you won't be the first one, you won't be the last one. And if that paralyzes with you with fear, and you fret and you worry about that and say, you know what, I just want to go along and get along and get out of the Christian life, yeah, you'll still be saved, but you know what, you're not going to continue. You're not going to press on toward the mark, the high calling of the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. You're not going to attain that. And that's what we're called to do. I mean, Paul here in 2 Timothy just, you know, he's trying to encourage Timothy to what? You know, continue on in the faith, to pick up the mantle, to ordain elders, and to, you know, to preach the word of God. And then he just like, oh, and by the way, you know, perilous times are going to come. People are going to get worse and worse. It's just, it's not exactly the most encouraging thing, is it? But it's a reality. At least he's not sitting there just trying to tickle his ear and say, oh, everything's going to be okay. You know, he's trying to encourage him to do what? Well, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He's given him this whole list of things, of all these bad things that are happening. Things that Timothy could just go, oh, I don't know about this, Paul. I mean, I started following you, I know, back in Acts, but I didn't realize it was going to be this bad. Maybe let me think here if I really want to do this. And that was not Timothy's attitude. But Paul, after telling him all that, says, continue despite all these things. Why? Because you don't need to worry about these things. Don't worry about it. Continue on in the things which thou hast learned, the scriptures, the preaching, the exhortation, the doctrine that he's been taught. He wants him to continue on in spite of these things. And look, if Timothy became afraid and was scared and didn't want to deal with the persecution, he would not continue. If he decided to fret over all these things and worry, he would not continue. But the command is to continue in the face of these things, to keep living for the Lord, to keep moving forward in the things that we have learned and been assured of. And here's the thing, you know, what are those things that we have learned? What are those things that we have been assured of? It's the Word of God. It's the exhortation that he received from the Word of God. It's the doctrine that he learned from Paul's preaching through the Bible, you know, through the scriptures that are able to make thee wise. And it was told of him that he knew the scriptures from a child. And Paul's saying, continue in these things. And don't let these things stop you from serving God. Don't fret. And he's reminding him again, it's the things that you've been assured of. You know, there's things, if you're going to continue, you have to rest on the things you have been assured of in the Word of God. If you're not going to fret and worry about these things, you have to go to the Word of God. That's the only assurance you have in this world. I mean, you could go out to the world looking for assurance that everything's going to be okay, and they'll lie to you. I mean, you can go get psychoanalyzed, and maybe they'll hook up some electrodes and, you know, give you a big couple bottles of prescription, say, just take these, and you won't worry so much. And you can just go through life, you know, brain dead or something. But that's not the insurance that we have as Christians. You know, we have an assurance in the Word of God. We have the comfort of the Scriptures. That's, you know, that was Psalm 37. We're going to go back there, you know, keep something there. If you were to turn away, we're going to end up back there. Go over to Psalm 73 right now. That is our assurance. You know what that tells me? No Scripture, no assurance. No Bible, no assurance. No Scripture, no comfort. I mean, sure, you can go out in the world and, you know, get therapy or whatever, and maybe they can, you know, just dope you up enough to where you don't worry about anything at all, ever. Or maybe we can continue on in the things that we have learned. We continue on the Scriptures and look what the Bible says, why we shouldn't worry. Why should we not worry? Because of the comfort of the Scriptures. Which tells me if you don't have the Bible, if you're not in your Bible, if you're not hearing the preaching of the Word of God, if you're not reading the Bible for yourself, if you're not memorizing Scripture, if you're not singing the hymns, the spiritual songs, you know, no wonder you're fretting about everything. Because you've taken the sole source of the assurance for the Christian life and just set it on the shelf. And so, well, where's my comfort? It's on the shelf. It's right here. But you got to be the one that crack it open and read it and find these passages and these assurances and memorize these things and write these things on the table of your heart. You say, well, I don't know if that's any help. Well, you know, then there might be a lack of faith there. You know, I read the Bible and I just say, yeah, it's some words on a page. Look, if we really believe the Bible, these things should assure us and give us comfort, which, you know, leads me to this. No Scripture, no assurance. You know, there's no Scripture, no assurance, and then there's no the Scripture, and you'll know assurance. You know, Romans 15 tells us whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and the comfort of scriptures might have hope. I just feel like that's hopeless. I worry about everything. I fret over all these things. The evil workers in this world, I fret about my circumstances. I don't feel like life's just hopeless. Well, you know what? You need to patiently get in the Bible and read it and pray and let the comfort of the scriptures give you hope. Because that's where the hope for the Christian is found. And there's so many people out there today that just want to get us all worked up about all the evil things that are going on in the world. And there's so many people that just want to take the comfort from us and have us just bite our nails and stay up late and worry about things that are beyond our control. That's not the Christian life that God wants you to live. He wants you to live a life of what? Peace. You know, He wants to have you joy, comfort. He wants these things in your life. But how do you get them? You get them through the scriptures. That's where they're at. You get them through prayer. The Bible says in Proverbs 18, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. I love that verse. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. I mean, we get with God. We get in the Bible. We rest. We walk in the Spirit. It's like climbing up a strong tower. And think about that illustration he's using. Far, you know, you're far above the troubles of the world, far above all the things that men are toiling and worrying and fighting over way down on the earth. We're in that strong tower, exalted, lifted up. When we walk in the Spirit, when we read the Scriptures, when we have the comfort of the Holy Ghost, we run into it and we're what? We're safe. Doesn't mean we're never going to experience hardship. Doesn't mean we're never going to be hurt. But ultimately, we always know that at the end, we win. You know, I've read the end of the book, folks. I know how it turns out. We win! Proverbs 73, if you're still there. I don't know where I had you turn. I'm losing my place. But go to Psalm 73. I'm sorry, Psalm 73. You know, these are great. Here's a great, if you're ever worrying, if you're ever fretting over things, if you find yourself there, just remember these two passages. Psalms 37, Psalm 73. It's great. You just turn those numbers around, you know. Psalm 73 kind of diagnoses the situation. It kind of shows us why people end up worrying and fretting over things that they shouldn't. He says in verse 1, truly God is good to Israel, even to them that are such of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I mean, he's worrying about, you know, getting out of the Christian life. He's slipping, he's sliding, he's losing his footing in this world. Why? Right? Why, Asaph? Why are you so upset here? Verse 3, for I was envious at the foolish. And isn't that what we read this morning? In Psalm 37, to fret not thyself because of evildoers. And in Psalm 24, and to not be envious of the wicked. I mean, some people, maybe it's not so much a worrying, they just envy the foolish. They envy the wicked. And they just say, oh, I wish I could have their life. I wish I could enjoy that sin. I wish I didn't have this conscience. I wish I didn't have this Holy Ghost convicting me of sin. Well, you know, that's a foolish way to live. And that, he's, you know, and I, that's what he's saying. I was envious at who? The foolish. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, right? For there are no bands in their death. Their strength is firm. You know, I hear it all the time when we go out soul winning. I hear people say this type of thing all the time, multiple people. I just can't understand how people wouldn't want to hear the gospel. I just can't understand why somebody would choose a false religion. I just can't understand why somebody wouldn't want to have me preach the gospel to them. Because they're foolish. And, you know, some people, there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. You know, there's a lot of people in this world, they just don't even think about the day of their death. They don't think about eternity. They don't think about where their soul's going to go when they die. It's the farthest thing from their mind. And they just, you know, they just preoccupy themselves with all the other things of this life and all the other things of this world. I mean, you ever thought about that? You go, hey, can I show you from the Bible how you can go to, 100% sure you're going to go to heaven? No, thanks. We're all right. And we're thinking, you're not all right. You're in peril. You're doomed. But to them, they're just like, we're fine. And you know what? In their minds, they really feel that way. They're not lying. They really think, we're fine. There's nothing to worry about. You know, we're all stardust. I'm sure they have some explanation. You know, I'm just going to go into the earth, and I'm going to come back out a flower, and then a deer is going to come eat me, and, you know, I'll just be part of the universe and go back to the stardust from whence I came. And it's this nice little poetic, mystical thing that's not reality. It's not what the Bible actually teaches, but people tell themselves things like that and they just go right about their merry way. There's no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. They're not worried about righteous living. They're not worried about resisting sin or trying to get over some bad habit in their life. They're not plagued. They're not resisting the flesh and the devil. They go right along with it. They go with the flow. They're not swimming upstream. They're not plagued. And this is who this guy is envying. This is who Asaph in this passage is envying. Foolish people who don't think about death. Foolish people who just go with the program, who just go with the flow. Verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Now, I want you to notice the verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. We see what was bothering Asaph here, right? He was envious at the foolish. Well, how did he resolve this issue? How did he stop being envious? How did he stop worrying? How did he stop fretting when he went into the sanctuary of God? When he ran into that strong tower, which is the name of the Lord? When he went to the comfort of the Scriptures? And then he understood what therein. You know, the Bible puts it all in perspective, doesn't it? When we look at the wicked, when we look at the foolish, when we look at those that prosper in the world, and we're tempted to envy them or to want to be like them in some way, you know what you need to do? Consider their end. Say, well, I don't know if I want to live my life the way the Bible tells me to. I mean, one man, one woman for life. I don't know if I want to just, you know, stay at home and have kids and raise them for God. I mean, look what the world gets to do. Vacations and nice things. And look, I'm not saying if you have vacations or nice things, you know, you're wicked. But look, when you make sacrifices to raise a family, people that are raising a lot of kids and on one income, they make sacrifices to do that. They're not running off here and running off there. And if you have the means to do that, great. God bless you. Go ahead and enjoy that. You know, a lot of people, they go, they weigh that out. They say, I don't know if I want to live for God or live for the world. And they say, it seems like the world's having a lot more fun. Yeah, you know what? They might look like they're having a lot of fun. And you know what? They probably are having fun. You know what they don't have? Joy, peace. They don't have the fruits of the Spirit. They don't have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. They don't have those things. It's absent in their life. And all they do is just keep chasing the next thrill, the next fun thing, the next thing that's going to help them to not worry and fret about what's really going on in the world. And if you come into the sanctuary of God, you know what you'll do? You'll understand their end. And you'll say, you know what? It looks like they're having a good time. It looks like they're fun, but I see where they're headed now. Oh, that's what's going on here. Oh, now I'm reading and I'm saying how it's really going to turn out. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. That's not the picture they're painting on Instagram and Facebook and everywhere else. But that's the picture the Bible paints, that it's hard to go out and resist God and fight God. Especially if you're a Christian and you have the Holy Spirit and you're grieving Him. And God says, well, it's time to chasten you. And just, you want to go make life 10 times harder than it needs to be. You know what you need to do if you find yourself envying the wicked and fretting about evil men? Consider their end. You know what's going to help you consider their end? Get in the sanctuary of God. Get in church. Get in your Bible. Read it. Pray, walk in the Spirit, and then you begin to understand their end. You know what? You probably find yourself not envying the wicked. You'll probably find yourself not fretting so much. And I want to close just going very quickly back through Psalms 37, because he lays this out. He gives us this formula to not fret, a formula to not fret. Okay? So we have here in Psalms 37 both instructions and a promise. Okay? Instructions and a promise. What are the instructions? Fret not. Very simple. Fret not. You know, be careful for nothing. Okay? But make your supplications known unto God. Okay? Cast all your care upon Him. That's the instructions. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the wicked. Those are the instructions, but what's the promise? You know, God's not going to say, fret not. Now here, you figure out how to do it. Here, you go out there in a world that's full of evil men and seducers. You go out there and live a life that's full of worry and care, and just make sure you don't do it. And I, you know, leave you to your own device. You figure that out now. You know, God gives us a formula here on how to not do that. You know, let me go ahead and just break it to you. It requires some spirituality. It requires some faith. Okay. The how. Okay. The promise is this, that, you know, God, what, verse 2, they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. You know, God's going to take care of all this. They're not getting away with it. Evil men and seducers, these wicked people, they're the evildoers, they will be what? Cut down like the grass. You know, that's why it's so stupid and foolish for us to go out there and just try to fight them. Because we're not going to cut them down like grass. And it's such a great illustration. You know, my backyard got out of hand this, you know, as much as a yard can get out of hand in Arizona, I guess. The grass got this tall. This tall! Can you believe it, right? Because the deluge we had, right? We were just encumbered with rain. But look, at some point I had to go get, you know, rent the gas weed whacker and go back there and cut down grass. And I'm telling you, it wasn't that hard. It was easy. Just the kids are all watching. I'm throwing rocks everywhere and cutting down grass. It was great. Took me like maybe an hour to get it all down. It was easy. But what if I had gone out there and said, I don't need that. I don't need the weed whacker. I'm just going to go out there and just pull every single blade out by hand and get every little root. You know, my hands would just been worn down to the nubs, bleeding and broken. And I probably wouldn't have gotten that far. I probably would end up just giving up. You know, it's easy. It's easier just let the weed whacker take care of it, right? Look, it's foolish for us to think that we're going to go out there and just slay the wicked. That we're going to go out there and just right every wrong in the world. We're going to put Fauci in his place. We're going to take Bill Gates and put him in his place. We're going to, you know, just go get all these corrupt politicians out and just wait for the next batch to move right back in. You know who is going to just cut them down like grass, though? God. It's going to be easy for him. He's just, and he's done. What's next? I mean, that's the illustration. He's going to cut them down like grass. It's a great illustration. God just, it's like, for him, it's like mowing his lawn on a Saturday afternoon. You know, he's, you know, might even enjoy it a little bit. As you get older, you begin to enjoy those things. Okay, guys? Trust me. Younger guys that just think it's all labor. Eventually, you'll like getting your white sneakers green. And, you know, you have to have grass to cut. And I don't know where I'm going. But to God, he's just like, hey, it's easy. You know, just fill up the tank, start her up, few minutes, done. They're going to wither as the green herb. That's the promise. So how do we not fret? Well, you have to believe this, that God's got it under control, that God's going to take care of it. That's what it says in verse 3. Trust in the Lord. Trust. You know, it begins with faith. You have to believe that this is what's going to happen. And here's what's so hard to understand sometimes, is people have no problem believing that they're evil men in the world. I mean, it's pretty obvious, you know, if you just look around. Say, yeah, obviously there's evil men. You know what takes a little bit more faith, though, is trusting that God's going to do something about it. Because it doesn't seem like the evil are just getting away with it, getting away with it, getting away with it. Yeah. You know what? Some of them are going to live long. There's going to be no bans in their death. Go read Psalm 73. They're not going to be plagued like other men. Their children are going to flourish, and they're going to go to their grave in peace right before they go straight to hell. You know, it's going to seem like that, and people are going to live wicked lives and do wicked things, and it's like the evil are going to, people are going to flourish. But you have to believe by faith that God is going to hold them accountable. Trust in the Lord. It begins with faith. Look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so that shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. It's not this idle waiting. I'm just waiting for God to set everything right. I'm just going to go and hide in my basement. You know, and just, you know, just hang out there in the dark and just wait for this all to pass and blow over like some kind of storm. That's not how we're supposed to wait it out. It's trust in the Lord and do good. We have to go out there and do good. It's not this idle waiting. Look at verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, if you really believe this, if you really believed and trusted in the Lord, it would be a delight to you. You would delight yourself in the Lord. You'd want to live for God in spite of the tribulation that's going to come for doing so. You say, you know what? I know God's going to take care of it. I know in the end all things are going to work together for good to them that love God, that are called according to his purposes. And I'm just going to go live for him anyway. I'm going to delight myself in the things of the Lord and let him take care of the rest. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to do good. It says in verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. You have to trust. You have to do good. You have to delight in the Lord. You have to commit your way unto the Lord. Be in it for the long haul. Don't just wait, you know, not just when you feel like it. Well, I'm going to live for God when it's easy, when everything's going good, when everything's going great at church, and my life's all, I got all my ducks in a row and everything's going great, you know, I'll live for the Lord. But as soon as persecution comes, which it's going to come, you know, I'm going to just bow out and get out of it. No, you need to commit your way into the Lord. Look, this is how you get the peace of God. This is how you fret not. Because God sees this. God's watching the wicked, but he's watching us too and how we react. And if he sees us down here trusting in him, doing good, delighting ourselves in him, delighting ourselves in the word of God, delighting ourselves in the things of God, and committing our way unto him and saying, no matter what happens, I'm going to live for God. You know what? He will bless us. He will give us peace. He will give us joy. He will protect us. He will give us rest in this world. Look at verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. You know, we need to just rest in the Lord and not fret about these things. And look, it starts with faith. It starts by trusting. It starts by delighting and committing. And then you get to the place where you can just rest. You know, it's like that hammock. You know, you got to do the work to put it up, right? You got to go buy it and find a good spot for it, put it up. And then you have to trust your handiwork at some point, right? And actually sit down. You ever, the first time you get in that hammock, kind of like, you know, I thought it was supposed to be relaxing, right? And then you got to put all your weight in it, just rest, right? You know, we got to do some work too when it comes to getting to rest in the Lord. It's not like I'm saved now, so God, I'm just going to wait for the peace of God here. I'm just resting in the Lord. No, it's an active thing. It's faith. It's commitment. It's delighting in the things of God. And then the peace comes. Then the resting comes. And then we can do what? Wait patiently for him. And we can just watch the world go to hell in a handbasket and just say, see ya. Because we know the Lord is coming by faith. We're resting. You know, and then verse 8, and I'll end here. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Look, when you're finally resting in the Lord, when you've committed your way, when you're delighting in the things of God, you're trusting in him, and you're just patiently waiting for him, you can cease from anger and not feel like I have to go right every wrong. I'm going to get to the bottom of COVID and expose the conspiracy. No, I'm just going to rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him, and I'm going to cease from anger, I'm going to forsake wrath, and I'm not going to fret myself in any wise to do evil. I don't need to take things into my own hands because ultimately all things are in God's hands. You know, and I'm just going to rest and wait for him. And it's not like God isn't upset. You say, but I'm really upset about what's going on in the world. You know what? God's angrier than all of us put together. Amen. I'm just upset about the abortion. Me too. But you know who's angrier than both of us? God. And just because he hasn't begun to work, and just because he hasn't begun to pour out his wrath and indignation in this world, doesn't mean he isn't going to. But we have to believe that by faith until that happens. And you know what? When we believe by faith, then we can rest and just understand God's going to take care of all. It's all going to work out to good. Everyone's going to get what they got coming. Eventually, all these wicked people, God's going to put them all right in their place. So I don't have to get angry. Now, look, am I going to have flare-ups from time to time? Yeah. You know, when I have to go again, it's like they're always in food service. I don't know what it is. Actually, I figured it out. You know, I'm going through salad and just some lispy faggot's handing me my food again. And I'm just like, I hope you're just effeminate. But it's like, it's, you know, you're about to remove all doubt here, the way your mannerisms and everything. And then I thought about it. I'm like, you know what? It's because, you know, no offense to anyone that's in food service. I don't know if anybody is. I spent a lot of time in food service, okay? It's not exactly the most intellectual work. I said, why are they always in food service? And it dawned on me, because it's not that hard. I mean, I know it's physically demanding, it's stressful, but it's not exactly rocket science to take somebody's order and go grab the food and bring it back to the table and say, do you want more water? You want more coffee? Can I fill that up for it? Right? Because they're brute beasts. I know I'm going off in a rant, right? I'm getting angry. I'm being wrathful. I'm having my flare up right now, okay? But you know what? I'm not going to leave here and just keep stewing about that fag at Salad and Go or wherever. I mean, yeah, when I see them, they vex my soul. They make me mad. But then I just say, but you know what? He's going to hell. I don't have to go out of my way to make his life any more miserable than he is. I don't have to worry about whether or not God is going to judge him and send him hell, because he is. He's a reprobate. You know, I can just cease from anger. I can forsake wrath and not fret in any wise to do evil. So that's the formula to fret not. You know, look, there's a people fret and it's not unfounded. You know, it's part of our nature to worry about things, and there's things that are beyond our control. And if we want to live a life where we're not just biting our nails and worrying about every little thing, you know what? We need to run into the high tower, that strong tower, which is the name of the Lord. We need to go into the sanctuary of God. We need to put this formula into practice in our lives, to have the faith, to trust in the Lord, to do good, and to delight ourselves in Him, commit our way unto Him, and just rest and wait patiently for Him, because we know ultimately He is going to take care of it. Let's go ahead and pray.